Right? We create like a narrative, a story, like this means that I'm not good enough. This means that I suck. This means that no one likes me. This means I can't do this. This means I'm a failure. This means I should just give up now. But does it? Does it?
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt. We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice,
and make an impact in this world.
Hey there, welcome to today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host. Today we're talking about mental health and online entrepreneurship. Now that may seem like a weird combo there, but listen, just because you put yourself out there online or you are a leader or you have a business, whatever it may be, that does not make you any less human, guys. If anything else, it just exposes your humanity more. And stepping out, using your voice, making an impact, all the things we talk about on this show is incredible, but it also comes with a lot of weight. And it's something that we have to talk about. We have to talk about our own mental health as leaders and how we can navigate the ups and the downs and this self-doubt, et cetera, that comes with that. And we are bringing on, again, returning guest, Julia Christina, clinical therapist, coach, YouTuber with over 100,000 subscribers, because this message is so real. It is so, so real and so needed. We talk about how to be a leader in the online space, put your message out there without letting criticism and all the self-doubt get to our hearts, and setting up healthy boundaries. This is such a good conversation that I got so much out of, and I know that you will too. But before we get started, listen, if you feel stuck at all, you want to step up, use your voice, make an impact, but you're like, Heather, listen, I don't know where to begin. Maybe you have a full-time job and it's a time management thing where you're like, I don't even know how to fit this into my life, this thing I feel called to do. Or maybe it's a self-doubt thing and it's this inner critic and it's this fear that's holding you back. Listen, I've been there and I would love to jump on a call with you. Yeah, I am offering free 20-minute coaching calls. All you have to do is click the link in the show notes and schedule a time to talk with me. And we are going to hear about your vision, what you feel called to do. And I can hopefully provide some value to you and give you a few ideas about how you can start going after this thing that's within you to do. Again, just click the link in the show notes, schedule a free 20-minute call, or you can go to heatherparody.com/leader and book a time there. All right, guys, let's get into this awesome conversation with my friend, Julia Christina. We are back with Julia Christina, who is mental health therapist, speaker, writer, researcher, incredible human being. We've had her on the show a couple of times now, and I've gotten so much good feedback, Julia, from our episodes. People always reference it, and I think it's just because it's so applicable to all of us, whether we are small business owners, leaders of any kind, people who are putting their heart out constantly for the sake of making a difference in this world, no matter what way it is. And man, that sounds glamorous. Man, it's so, so hard. And you and I were just in a really incredible conversation, and I kind of cut you off halfway so we could hit record because I want everyone to hear what we were talking about. But Julia, thanks so much for taking the time to join us again today.
Oh, I love this, Heather. Anytime. Yes. So glad to be here.
This entrepreneurial thing. We were just talking about this online space, which is so beautiful, and I'm so grateful for it. I really am. I think it's changed your life. I know it's changed my life like dramatically. More and more people are entering into this space, Julia, where they want to build something and they want to spread their message. They want to make a difference in this world, and they want to be able to scale it the way the internet's able to spread messages. But with that comes a lot of insecurity, a lot of self-doubt. Yeah. And we were just talking about how hard it is to kind of put yourself out online. And you were saying you don't believe that's human, like our innate, you know, human nature for us to put ourselves out there like that.
No, we're not. I mean, we're not wired for that. If you look back at like that reptilian brain or the ancient brain or whatever you want to call it, our brain is actually really dramatic. Let's just backpedal a little bit. Our brain's job is to keep us alive. And our brain is going through our environment, seeing anything as like, it's a threat and I'm going to surely die or I'm safe. And it doesn't really see a whole lot in between, which is why we can get really anxious or fearful or worked up or actually have like a physiological reaction, like a fear reaction in our bodies to even just something like that we're thinking about that's fearful, because our brain doesn't always know the difference and often doesn't know the difference between a real threat and a perceived threat or an imagined threat. But even talking about this whole putting ourselves out there, it's one of the reasons why they've shown that public speaking is almost like an innate fear, that we all, like human beings, have this fear of public speaking because it is part of our brain that, again, trying to keep us alive, because if we're going back to like caveman days or like a long time ago, that, you know, we need to be part of the tribe in order to survive, that you couldn't just be on your own and do your own independent thing because you would die. Like there would be an animal, a beast, or some kind of weather condition or something that would take you out. But when we are doing anything, putting ourselves out there publicly, public speaking, just like making ourselves the object of a group's observation, that sounds really like technological, but whenever we're sticking out in some way, we leave ourselves open to judgment, to scrutiny, and to rejection. Mm-hmm. Right? Like we're making ourselves vulnerable to rejection, and our brain doesn't see like, oh, if you get rejected by some strangers on the internet, you're going to be fine. It's not going to impact you in any, there is no threat. Our brain sees like danger, you know, opportunity or potential to be rejected and die.
Yeah.
And so our brain, that's why we get really anxious and we get really worked up and we really just have all of these fears around it, because our brain is dramatic. It's a bit of a drama queen.
Yep.
And likes to kind of make a big deal or like make things way bigger than they are. But it feels like these thoughts that come into our mind and tell us like, this is what's going to happen. This is what people are going to think. This is what could happen. This is what might happen. Our brain, those are perceived dangers. Those are imagined threats, but our brain doesn't know the difference. And so it goes into freak out mode, which then creates all this havoc in our bodies. And we have these physiological responses. And then because our body is freaking out and all anxious, then it sends messages to our brain that there actually is a threat. So our brain is like, see, I told you so. And then it gets even more worked up and starts thinking about all these other terrible things. And it just becomes this like bouncy back and forth until we are just like worn out, exhausted, and wondering what the heck we're doing and whether or not we should even just keep doing it, because it's such a mind screw.
Yeah. And you know, it's accelerated even more, because not only are we just putting ourselves out there for our city or even our state, but we're putting ourselves out there in the world. A lot of our listeners are building in the online space. And so we have people from tons of different countries listening to us and watching us and have the ability to say what they want to say, reject us, do all those things. I feel like it's even heightened even more in the online space. So how in the world, Julia, do we work through this?
It's a huge thing. And you know, one of the most important things is, well, and I think one of the good things actually is, and some people say they'd love to just be an overnight success. I'd love it if just like all of my stuff just like blew up overnight and I became this, you know, figure in my space. But the truth is that is often not good because the psyche can't handle that much transition, going from just sort of having your own life and doing your own thing to all of a sudden being this person who is like known and being watched by like tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions. And then all the things that come from that, right? If you're used to just sort of doing your own thing in your own little community, or like you have this little online space where everyone's really supportive. And when you have a small following, people are supportive, right? Like those are your lifers. Those are the people that are like there for you. But as soon as you become exposed in like this bigger way, like everyone comes out of the woodwork, and there's so many people that have so many things to say about what you're doing. And I remember that when I first started my YouTube channel, and people are like, oh, I'm so scared of trolls. And I'm like, what do you mean trolls? Everyone's so lovely and so supportive. And then my YouTube channel started to really blow up. And then all these things started coming out of the woodwork. And again, I didn't go from like 1,000 subscribers to like 1,000,000 subscribers overnight. That would have been like a whole other level. But I noticed, like, as it started compounding and ramping up, more and more people with opinions and things that they didn't like about the way that I breathed or the way that I blinked or, you know, the way I said, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Started coming out of the woodwork and started having opinions about stuff. So I think when it comes to this entrepreneurial thing, like being grateful for a little bit of that slower progression and being grateful for a little bit of that, maybe some of us would like a little bit more growth, but being grateful for not having that overnight success. It's like saying, you know, I'd love to be a well-revered public speaker, but if I went from like giving like little talks at my like local community center to maybe 10 or 20 people to all of a sudden being called and asking to like speak at, you know, a big stadium somewhere in front of tens of thousands of people, like, holy crap, I don't know if I could do it. Like, I don't know if I could do it. And it's something in psychology, and Heather, you probably know this, it's called scaffolding, where we scaffold. We like allow ourselves to kind of shift and grow gradually.
Yep.
Right. And then we kind of like, we get to a new level and we kind of get uncomfortable with some of the things that come with that new level. And then we adapt and adjust to that. And we're like, we figure it out. We're like, okay, I can do this. And then we get to the next level. And it's the same with Olympic athletes. Like, I've always wondered, like, how do Olympic athletes go on the field or go on the ice or go out there in front of millions, maybe even billions of people and keep it together? But this isn't their first rodeo. They've been working towards this all their life. They've started small and they've scaffolded their way up. They've progressed their way up, and their psyche has adapted and adjusted to each new level. And, you know, what they can handle has adapted and adjusted. And so we let ourselves grow with that. And we let ourselves, like, absolutely having a really good coach or like a therapeutic coach along the way to help us as we get to those different levels and feel those things that come up and feel, you know, that sense of exposure and that vulnerability and sorting through that and letting ourselves like have someone there to kind of support us and walk us through that so that we can feel comfortable, you know, as we get to the next level. And so also being able to talk about it, having peer support, being open and honest. Like Heather, you and I were just talking right before we got on this call, where I was like, okay, girl, give it to me straight. Like, this stuff is hard. And we were talking about some of the things that make this hard and being honest and stop pretending like any of us have it all together or have it all figured out or just like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I never go through any ups and downs. Like, it is just smooth sailing, girl. Yeah. Like, I don't know what your problem is, but in the online space, when we're seeing all of these highlight reels of people, we can start to think that, and that screws with our heads even more to think like, oh my gosh, they're just like soaring high and just like growing and having more and more success. And it's so lovely and easy and seamless, but it's not. I have yet to meet an entrepreneur, and especially a digital entrepreneur, who hasn't, you know, had moments of crying in the corner.
100%.
Maybe a lot of moments of being like, what am I doing? And is it worth it? And can I keep doing this? Because this is so dang hard.
Well, explain this to me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, because I've been thinking a lot about this topic. Just putting out my own content, you know, I want to be very real and authentic, but then there's always this hesitancy. You know, we're told in the online space, be authentic, be real. People connect with that. And that's so much easier in theory than actually doing it. And what's interesting is, okay, if I see you, if you say, man, I really struggle with this is hard. If you're super honest and you talk about the ways you failed, my like for you goes up. I immediately, I'm like, Julia is cool. I like her. I can trust her. And my respect for you actually goes up because I think, wow, she's human. But when I think about me doing that, I go, oh, no one will like me. I'm going to look this way and I'm going to look that. So for some reason, we don't translate our own behavior into ourselves. Like, we actually like people who are imperfect. We respect people who don't have it all together. We connect with those people.
Yes.
Why is it so hard then for us to do the same?
I think we fear being judged. Like, I think we think that it's going to be different for us. I think, you know, and the other thing, Heather, like, if we're being fully transparent, there is such thing as curated authenticity.
Oh, girl, let's talk.
Well, and it's not even that it's necessarily a bad thing. Often I will share things openly about things that I'm going through, but not when I'm in the middle of it.
Oh, that's good.
Because no one wants to see me go online and be like, everything's so hard and I can't do this and I suck and everything sucks and life sucks. And, you know, like, nobody wants it. Like, that's just icky. That's just icky. And no, and I mean, in real life, we even find it hard sometimes when we have a friend. I mean, we always have like our go-to, and my husband would be my go-to where I'm like, okay, I just need to have a pity party right now. And I just need to let it all hang out. And I just need to tell me that I'm amazing and that you love me and that I can do this, right? Like, we have those people. But the internet people are not those people, right? Like, those are not the people that are there to like pick us up. And we shouldn't be relying on the internet to pick us up when we've fallen down, because those are not like close personal relationships. And I don't know. I think you're a Brené Brown fan. I think we've talked about this before. Yeah. Right.
We're best friends. She just doesn't know it yet.
I know. I'm like, she's my spirit animal. but you know, we share often, like, the rule is to share really like vulnerable personal information when we're in the middle of it with people who have a parallel depth of relationship. So the deeper the relationship, the deeper we share. And so that's why on the internet, like, curated authenticity is not about sharing, like, pouring our heart out when we're right in the middle of it, because that's just not safe.
Yeah.
But being able afterwards, like, after we've sorted it through, and being able to say, like, hey, this was really hard for me, or these are things that I feel and stuff that I've gone through. And it's almost using it more as an inspiration than a cry for help.
Mm.
Like, we don't go into a public space and say, someone, like, someone be here for me, or someone fix this, or someone do this for me. And then that's kind of icky vulnerability, because then people who don't know us, they're just like, I don't know what to do with that.
Right.
Like, I don't know what to say. And man, like, and they kind of just like go running away because it just feels really uncomfortable. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
And I know that Brené Brown, she's talked about that before too. She's like, I never share anything publicly when I'm in the middle of it. Because it's not fair to me, because I'm not going to get what I need. And it's not fair to the public, because that's not their responsibility. Their responsibility is not to pick me up when I've fallen down.
Well, and then too, I know we're kind of all over the place, but
yeah.
I love when she talks about, you know, people have to earn the right to hear your story. I love that. And so too, there's this element, I'd love to hear your perspective, because you have such a loyal tribe and just hundreds of thousands of listeners. I don't even know how many that you have. It's an insane amount of tribe that's watching you. How do you kind of balance being authentic and real and showing part of yourself, but also too honoring your story and honoring who you are and being kind of selective what you share? How do you balance both of those?
And I guess, like, you probably know this as a therapist, that we self-disclose. And the rule for self-disclosure in therapy, and self-disclosure, just for those of you who are not therapists, self-disclosure just means like the things that we share about our personal selves with our clients. So I sort of do the same rule on social media, that I self-disclose, I share things that I think are going to be helpful for other people. So I'm not making it about me. And that's another thing about this curated authenticity, is like, really, and it does actually help me in a way to be able to put these things to words and to kind of make sense of it and to kind of, like, you know, put it together in a little bit of a narrative, because it helps me make more sense of it and get clarity around it. But I'm doing it as partly as like a bit of teaching, Like, here's what I learned, and here's what I went through, and here's what I'm, you know, here's what I've dealt with. And then also offering it as, you know, as something to help people in some way.
That's really, I've never thought about that. But the whole point of self-disclosure is you're sharing something for the sake of someone else, not for your own sake.
And you do benefit, like as human beings, we do benefit from sharing our story, but doing it in a way that's to help other people.
God, that's so good. That's so good.
So, and that's just, that's kind of what I go with. I'm like, what's something that's going on inside? So it's a little bit opposite because I'm not in the therapy room. I'm not listening to what my client is saying to me and then thinking about what I'm going to share about myself that's going to be helpful for them. But I'll be thinking about what am I dealing with right now? And what am I going through right now? Or what did I just go through? And how can I share this in a way that would be helpful for somebody else? So I guess not making it all about us. Because I mean, social media is one of those things where it is about the person, but it's kind of, but we go to people who we see ourselves in, who we relate to, who we connect with, and who inspire us, right? It's like saying like, this person's like me and they've gone through hard things and they're dealing with hard things, but you know, they're getting through it and they're working through it. And that's inspirational. And if they can do it, and if I see myself in them, then I can do it too.
That's so good. That is so, so good. Now, when we first connected about a week or two ago, I don't remember, we talked about self-doubt being something that is so real. And I love what you said. I think it was before we hit record. You talked about how human or how more sensitive we actually are as leaders and entrepreneurs that we, you know, and I posted a status about this other day. I was like, being a leader doesn't make you any less sensitive or inhumane. It makes you, it just exposes your humanity more because you're in the front, you know, on the front lines of everything. So talk to me a little bit about that as a leader, as someone who seems invincible and, you know, has everything together. We all have our own self-doubt and inner critic. It's so hard. How do we work through those little voices in our head? That's like, who the hell are you to do this, et cetera. Yeah.
And I think you and I were talking about that before as well, and just how as entrepreneurs, and especially like creative entrepreneurs, entrepreneurship is creative. We're creating something. We are building something. We are listening to the things that are kind of stirring in our heads and our hearts, and we are putting it out there into the world. And we're creating something for people. And just, you know, research shows that typically people who are more creative in any kind of way tend to be more sensitive. And they've actually been, there's research that's been showing that there is a genetic marker for sensitivity, that people are just, some people are just born more highly sensitive. And that if it often is that sensitivity and that vulnerability and that emotional stuff is often the birthplace of our biggest, best, brightest ideas. So also acknowledging that entrepreneurs as like a people group, we tend to be just in general more sensitive, which means that things impact us more deeply. We just feel things more deeply. Things we think about things more complexly. It's just part of, we can even maybe even being able to close to saying that it's part of our DNA. And so, yeah, self-doubt is a real thing, and it is something that we really deal with. And again, it's part of that lizard brain that's like, self-doubt is trying to keep me safe, right? Like, thank you, brain, for trying to keep me alive, because if I doubt myself and I keep myself small and I keep myself hidden and I keep myself just sort of part of the pack and don't pull myself out and make myself visible, I can't get rejected and I won't die. Like really our brain is that dramatic where it's like, keep you safe. So self-doubt, you can say, thank you, self-doubt. Thank you for trying to keep me alive, but it actually isn't a real threat. Failure is not a real threat. Things not going the way that I want them to go is not a real threat. A stranger on the internet telling me that I'm a stupid idiot is not a real threat. Yeah. And so getting really clear about what am I doubting myself for? Like, what am I fearing? Am I fearing failure? Am I fearing things not going the way that I want them to? Like oftentimes that is what self-doubt is about, but why does that mean anything? Why does failure or not things not going the way that I want them to, why does that mean anything bad about me as a person? Why are we personalizing? And that's often why we fear failure so much, is because we make it mean something. We don't say, I had a failure, or I had a misstep, or things didn't go the way that I want them to, right? Like, we use language like that. And it's like, I had a failure. Okay, now what am I going to do? This isn't a personal thing. This is that I don't know everything yet, or that I've got more to learn and I've got more room to grow. But we don't do that. We say, we don't say, I had a failure. We say, I am a failure. Mm-hmm. We make it personal. And so there's so much on the line. It's why we don't often don't even fear as much what other people are going to say to us if we fail or if things don't turn out perfectly. We fear what we're going to say to us and what we're going to put ourselves through and what we're going to make that mean about us. But, you know, in a lot of the work that I do around all of these feelings and all of these thoughts and all this stuff that's going on in our brains and kind of here, there, and everywhere, is really learning how to unattach ourselves from the meaning that we make. So if I fail, if this doesn't go the way that I want it to, or if things don't turn out, or it takes longer than I think it should, or this isn't as successful as I was manifesting it to be, or whatever, what am I making that mean about myself? What are the words that I have to say to and about myself that are causing me to feel bad? Because these situations are neutral.
Yeah.
A launch not going the way that I wanted it to, a post not getting as many likes as I expected it to, a podcast not having the success in the amount of time that I thought it should. Those are neutral events. They don't mean anything. But our upset comes when we make it mean something.
Yeah.
We create this meaning, and maybe I'm getting a little bit too esoteric right now.
No, go ahead.
But we make it mean something, and we have thoughts about it, right? We create a narrative, a story, this means that I'm not good enough. This means that I suck. This means that no one likes me. This means I can't do this. This means I'm a failure. This means I should just give up now. But does it? Does it? Because the last time I checked, that was just an experience that happened, and maybe it means I've got more to learn. I've got more room to grow. I've got some things I still need to figure out, and there is nothing personal about it.
And every person who has, quote, made it went through that exact same thing.
Absolutely. I feel like it's not like the person with the best strategy that wins in the digital entrepreneurial world. It's like the person that's the most resilient, the person that can keep getting back up, and it's battered and bruised and scraped and still going. As long as I just keep going, I'm going to make it, because everyone else is forget it. It is too hard. And they're just peace out, trying something else, going somewhere else, doing something else. So it's the strong that survive.
Well, tell me about that, because correct me if I'm wrong. And guys, I'm going to link up her very first interview that we did. I think it was episode 4. It was a long time ago. But she shares about, you're a therapist and you decide you're going to share your message on YouTube. And you talk about brave, y'all, YouTube, getting on front of a camera, sharing your message. Talk me through when you talked about the levels earlier, and I couldn't agree more. There's always a new level and you get more resilience, like a muscle that you use. But each little level and each little test and each little wall that you've faced in your journey, when you started getting negativity and you started not having launches go well and these things just started piling on, yes, you're getting stronger, but again, there's always this new challenge and this new resistance. What is kind of your practice around that? When you get slammed with a comment, when you get smacked in the face with this or that, and you're just sitting here at your computer, walk me through that. What do you do?
Yeah. You know what, Heather? I have a phrase that is this is my everything phrase. This is the phrase that keeps me going when it feels hard, when I'm this is too much. I can't do this. I'm tired. I'm worn out. We all have those moments, right? This, I'm done. And then I'll have these moments. And then the phrase that I always use that is my golden phrase, and I don't know when I came up with this, but it's been everything to me. And it's so simple. All I ask myself is, what's the alternative? What's the alternative? I'm not going back to my 9-to-5 job working for the health board at a clinic, in downtown Vancouver. Like, I'm not going back to a windowless office. I'm not going back to, you know, working for somebody else. I did not, like, this is part of it. Like, Julia, this is what you signed up for. There's ups and downs, and you're fine. Like, what's the alternative? Stop thinking that the things that you want most are supposed to be easy and painless. And, like, for me, just saying, what's the alternative?
That's so good.
And there's no alternative. It's just, you know, keep working on getting more bouncy. And what I mean by bouncy is, like, getting more resilient. Like, keep working on just, like, making it easier on yourself. Again, I say that, make it easier on yourself to get back up. Because we make it hard on ourselves to get back up with all of these stories about what this means or what this says or I can't do this. And, like, our brain just sort of going all, like, bonkers on us. We make it hard for ourselves to get back up.
Yeah.
So making it easier on ourselves to just, you know, feel, obviously, like, feel the feeling of disappointment or frustration or discouragement and acknowledge ourselves and allow ourselves to be human beings, not just, like, just think positive and just be grateful and you've got this, girl, and you can do it. Like, that's great. But in the moment, like, we need to actually acknowledge our feelings and saying, it's understandable that I'm feeling disappointed right now that this didn't go the way that I wanted it to. Or it's understandable that I'm feeling frustrated right now because I've been working hard at this and I haven't figured it out yet. Right? It's understandable to have my feelings and be a human being and not pretend like everything is quote unquote all good when it's not.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when I have thoughts and feelings that it's not, I'm allowed to have those thoughts and feelings that it's not all good. And I'm allowed to acknowledge myself and to acknowledge that this isn't easy. And this takes grit and this takes determination and this takes resolve and this takes commitment. And sometimes that's hard and I'm allowed to acknowledge that. So I create space for my feelings. I acknowledge myself for being a human being. It's not a robot and, like, oh, well, that didn't work out. Moving on.
Yeah.
And then I have a conversation with myself, the conversation that's going to help me get back up. And I always say, like, having a good self-talk game, especially, well, I think in any area of life, but especially when we're putting ourselves out there and we're going through these ups and downs, like, having a self-talk game that's on point is everything. Like, how do I talk myself through this? How do I talk myself out of whatever kind of gremlins are coming in there and trying to take me down? But it's not just about thinking positive or being grateful. We actually have to have a script or a narrative. And this is a lot of what I teach my clients. Like, I teach them a lot. Like, let's work on your self-talk.
Yeah.
Let's really, like, hammer out, what do you need to hear? And let's try some things on and let's play around with some stuff. But, like, what do you need to hear? Not did what other, like, meme or quote on social media, like, what's actually going to stick with you? And for me, that was one of my things, one of my pieces of self-talk that just kind of came one day. And I was like, that's it. That piece of, what's the alternative, Julia? What's the alternative? And that curated piece of self-talk is what gets me back up a lot faster and a lot fewer bruises.
So good. Where can people connect with you online?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's a really good question. I'm on Instagram. I'm actually, these days, I really kind of like Instagram right now. So I don't even know what my Instagram handle is. Isn't that funny? I'm like, I don't follow myself on Instagram.
It's Julia Christina Counselor, isn't it?
Is it? Counseling? I'm just going to double check here.
It'll be linked in the show notes regardless.
Well, I'm Julia Christina. Yeah. It's, if you just look up Julia Christina, and then my handle is Julia Counselor okay, with two L's, but it'll be in the show notes. But yeah, Julia Christina. And I really like that because it just feels, I don't know, Instagram feels like a bit of a fresh space right now. I'm also on YouTube. I don't know my YouTube handle. There's another Julia Christina. I think there's, like, this German singer who's Julia Christina, Christina with a K, or, like, Polish singer or something like that. But, like, I'm the only other one. You'll, you know. So that's Julia cool. Christina, if you type Julia Christina on YouTube,
awesome.
One of my videos will show up.
Yeah. All of that will be linked to the show notes. Definitely check her out. She has a lot of cool things going on. Group coaching, if any of this resonated with you, definitely check her out. Last question. Let's say you were to go back, I don't know how many years ago it was, but go back in time and just sit with Julia before she posted her first YouTube video, before she hit that publish button, and you're just to sit with her for a second, and tell her something about the journey she's about to go on, what would you say to her?
Just try. I don't know if it's a family show, but I was going to say, I swear. I was like, just try stuff. Just try shit. Like, really? And don't make it mean something. Just experiment. Just try. Like, see. Fling some mud at the wall and see what sticks. And just, yeah. Then don't, and I mean, again, like, I was far from perfect when I first started, but don't try and make it perfect. And the other thing is, like, just keep doing it, because you are going to suck at first, and just let yourself suck. Like, just get over it and let yourself suck. And I know that you asked me just for one thing, but I wanted to share this little analogy.
Go ahead.
And you know, you hear about, like, how, like, Michael Jordan and all these other really famous people who they were kicked off, or they didn't get onto their high school basketball team, or they were rejected from this thing, or this music producer, like the Beatles, this music producer, like, rejected them. And people always say, like, oh, like, that coach or that producer, that person was delusional, and they didn't know what they were doing. But that's not true. It's because they weren't good enough yet. Like, Michael Jordan was not good enough yet. His coach wasn't an idiot. He wasn't good enough yet. And so let yourself get good enough. Stop saying, like, I have to, if I don't show up on day one and knock it out of the park, then there's no point. Like, let yourself suck, and you're not going to knock it out of the park the first day because you're not good enough yet. So let yourself grow. Let yourself learn. Let yourself expand. Let yourself, like, not, I don't mean good enough as a person, but good enough in your craft,
right,
or whatever it is that you're doing. Like, you're obviously good enough as a human being, but at your craft, let yourself get good, let yourself grow, and let yourself suck.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.